This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Matt Wiedenhoff. And good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
And he is a candidate for the state representative's office, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And if you have questions for him along the way, you feel free to call anytime, 395-1450, and our line will be open for you. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, Matt. First of all, you're how old?
I'm 33.
You're old enough for the house.
Yes, sir.
All right. What made you want to do this?
Well, looking at some of the major issues is what made me want to do this. Like Common Core and Medicaid expansion, those two generational changing issues that were voted for in our state and by our current representative really drove me into this race. It was the idea there was no time to wait. Those things are not good for now or future for our kids, grandkids, and moving forward. So it was a matter of who's going to step up, and I decided it was time for me to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you are in education?
Yes, sir. I teach at Davenport University in Grand Rapids, and I do the business and management there. And then also I do economics and accounting over at Baker College in Muskegon.
Mm-hmm. So you got these things on your mind that don't seem right to you.
No, definitely not. When I look at what they actually mean for the citizens of Michigan and moving forward, our economic growth, I don't see any positivities in any of them. And it was a matter of, if I didn't do it, who was going to do it? And mm-hmm. Could we wait before I could do it? And there was no time to wait. They're happening now. It's changing things now. And waiting may just be too late.
Yeah. Do they have Common Core in the schools you have attended?
No, when I went to school, they didn't, but I'm teaching kids who've coming from it at the university and at college there, and I talked to many teachers who are dealing with it. In fact, my own kids, I moved them into St. Mary's in Spring Lake to make sure that they weren't exposed to it more than the 1 year that they were, and it was frustrated my son so badly, and he's pretty good at math. I'll tell you if my kids aren't the best, but he's pretty good, and he would get so frustrated. And I would have to ask him, what was he doing? Because I didn't understand it. And I have an MBA and a bachelor's in accounting and an MBA in strategic management. And I'm looking at it at second grade math going, what is this?
That's the way I felt about modern math.
I'm like, 2 + 2 = 4, no matter how you do it, buddy. Just do it, 2 + 2.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And what else were your concerns?
With the Medicaid expansion. Expanding a government program, whether it's state or federal, does not help to create an economy. It creates dependency, and all we hear about is moving forward. Well, moving forward, which direction? Moving forward to put people on a state program, or moving them forward to create opportunities? And Medicaid expansion is not creating opportunities for the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And for individuals themselves, I don't want to look at it as I have to go on a state program. For instance, there's one gentleman, he's a contractor, and he has a nice home, huge home, and he tried to get insurance. They told me only qualified for Medicaid. And he said,
Well,
I don't want Medicaid. I have this nice home. The last thing I need is the news outside of my house saying this guy's on state-run health care.
Yeah.
Or health coverage. Let's make sure that's right. And they said, I'm sorry, sir, that's what you're qualified for, and that's it. We have to give it to you. And he couldn't get through. He just couldn't understand how he makes good money, and he has a nice house and a good living, owns his own business, and yet his family can only get Medicaid. That doesn't seem possible or logical in any way. And when I look at the numbers, and all it's talking about is increasing the number of people covered by Medicaid, I looked at it and thought, we should be looking at numbers with people being covered by private health insurance because they're getting jobs or they're able to start a business and afford their own, not because they qualify under a higher standard of income.
Well, isn't it necessary for them to have some kind of insurance under Obamacare?
Yeah, Obamacare mandates we all have to be covered.
Yeah.
And obviously, I already don't agree with Obamacare. And that's the best thing about all this Medicaid expansion, everything, is a direct effect of Obamacare. We had to, quote unquote, do this according to them, because of Obamacare, and there's federal dollars coming back, and, you know, it's rhetoric.
I have a call on the line here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
First of all, I'd like to welcome the candidate to the primary race and just wish him the best of luck. From the little bit I've heard so far, he seems to be a responsible and concerned and thinking candidate, and I appreciate his independence, for lack of a better word. And he sounds to me like a leader, which is what we need in Lansing and in Washington, a concerned, involved leader, as opposed to a follower, which seems to be what we have at present in that particular seat.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'd like to welcome him and encourage him, and my goodness gracious, it seems like a fresh breath of fresh air, and I'd like to applaud his effort.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and it's great hearing those kind of things, which every day when I'm going out door knocking, I hear that, and it just makes my decision that much more justified, and I love it. I really do appreciate the continued support from people like yourself.
Well, keep up the good work. We're behind you here. I'm behind you here anyway, and I'm sure there's hundreds of others. I hope. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're talking this morning with Matt Wiedenhoft, and he is a candidate for the state representative seat. And what area does that cover, Matt?
The 89th district starts at the Ottawa-Muskegon line in the Ferriesburg-Spring Lake Township. The city of Ferriesburg, the village of Spring Lake, Grand Haven City, Grand Haven Township, over to Crockery Township, which is Nunica. Then we got West Olive, Blended Township, Port Sheldon, Park, and that's just to the north and east and west of Holland. So we're as far over to almost Allendale and to the lake, and as north as Muskegon. It's quite a size.
Yeah, it is. That is. All right. What would be the first thing you'd like to work on if you had in the house?
Well, the first thing is removing Common Core education from our school system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in just the last 2 to 3 weeks here, we've already had Oklahoma, both Carolinas, and Louisiana already say they're getting out of it. And that's just within 2 days, Oklahoma and both the Carolinas said it. Every other state's saying it. Why are we not? Why do we always have to follow the lead and not be the lead?
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be the first thing I'd work on, is getting the Common Core out. The teachers are frustrated. The school districts are frustrated. The students, most importantly, are frustrated. And we need to get rid of it in order to increase the education and stop the frustration. So teachers go to school to learn to teach. Let them do their job.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've heard some of the states that are thinking about backing out of it. And a lot of people consider it government-designed education, and people don't particularly like that. I think we had another call here. Yes, good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning, Duke. My question on the Common Core is, I've heard both Senator Arlen Meekhoff and Amanda Price say that all the school teachers and such wanted it because they talked to them. And I guess my question is, will this individual at least consult with the constituents to see what they do or don't want outside of the people that are being paid by the constituents?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The thing I look at this position as, it says state representative, and the key word being representative. If I believe in something, doesn't mean that the people I represent do. Then the represented people get what they want. The unfortunate part is the teachers I'm talking to have said they dislike it. Multiple times. In fact, I know of one teacher specifically that actually retired due to Common Core education. But yes, every decision that's especially a generational changing decision must be approved by the voters, the citizens of the district and beyond into the whole state.
Yeah, because I mean, as I watch the political landscape across this country, beginning with Obama, we get a lot of stuff shoved down our throats. Okay, that we didn't vote for, and we don't get to vote for, such as you were saying, the insurance, the Medicaid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just kind of tired of the direction of the socialist, fascist state that we get to live in, both nationally and as a state. And I just think that these things need to change. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I agree with him more than anything with the fact that we're getting things shoved down our throat. They say, well, we voted for the person to represent us. And they're right. We did. However, if you're not representing us, then we didn't vote for the right person, so it's time to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
The number one rule in business is ask your customers what they want.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't be in business very long.
That's right.
I may want to sell blue paper, but if my customers keep telling me they want white, but I don't change, I go out of business.
Yep.
That's the same premise here. If I don't ask my constituents what they want, I shouldn't be elected again because I'm not doing what they want. I'm not there to create my own agenda and push my own agenda through. I'm there to make sure that the people in my district have their voice heard because that's what I'm there for. Instead of having 50,000 people from one district in the room, we have one so that that voice can be heard. And right now our voice isn't being heard by our representative.
We're talking today to Matt Wiedenhoft, and he is, where do you live, in Spring Lake?
I'm in Spring Lake Township, Ferrisburg area. It's funny when you get up there. I have a Spring Lake address. I live in Spring Lake Township, but then it's in Ferrisburg, so I kind of take them all on as a home.
Okay. All right. But you have lived in that area for a while?
Yeah, for a few years here. I lived in North Muskegon for a while when we first moved to Michigan in 93. And once I moved over the county line to Ottawa, I just loved it. It's a whole different world in Michigan. And I didn't want to go back to Muskegon County. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people there. But Ottawa County aligns themselves with my views. It's completely different than the county line. And I really do like the Ottawa County, the whole business atmosphere and the thinking.
All right. Good. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I'd like to just ask the guest there just his opinion about what he thinks about the government controlling everything we do instead of giving this country, as it was founded, a free enterprise, freedom of speech, going to the Obamacare, and the government's basically telling us what we got to do. They're going to be telling us what we got to eat and so on and so forth. I just wanted a little overview of your guest there, of what he thinks about this government controlling who we are and what we do.
All right.
Yeah, I believe completely 100% in liberty, freedom. That's what we were founded on. That's what we should be. I've never heard of a country being prosperity when they're being told everything to do. Prime example, you can look at the USSR, you can look at Cuba and North Korea, none of those really work out. Europe, they're in shambles in most places. And we are supposed to be free. We should make our decisions. We need less regulations, less mandates. Allow us, as people, to spend the money the way we see fit. We need...
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say right exactly. It's just gotten to the point to where, the government is controlling and... Yeah, it's just, you can kind of take it from there. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. You hit a nerve there, I think.
It seems to be that's really the biggest issue, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's about freedoms being taken away and being told what to do, how to do it, what time to do it. And last time I checked, I still hang an American flag.
Yeah.
So until that comes down, which I don't think it'll ever happen because I won't allow it.
Right.
I want my freedoms. I want my liberties. I want my kids, their grandkids, to understand and feel what we did.
Yeah. Okay. 395-1450. Have you ever run for office before?
I've not run for political office. I am. I'm on the board of my credit union, First General Credit Union. I'm the vice chairman of the board there, and I'm the vice president of management on the JC's board. But for political office, no. I understand economics and business. So.
A new adventure. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling to find out. I guess I'm tired of the extremes on both sides. And Howard Baker just passed away. I've been interested in reading on some of the things that Howard Baker did and what he was known for. And he seemed to be well-respected by both sides. And part of it is when you argue, you still end up back together with respect for each other, and I think that has disappeared from what I see in government. And I'm wondering about how you feel about compromise, that we're at a point where we either have one group saying we get all what we want or nothing else, or we close down the government. And I want to see what you feel about compromise. I'll listen to what you have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, two main points on that, and is number one, Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill. They had a relationship that they could fight it out in the halls of Congress or the White House when they need
or over lunch.
And then they go out for dinner and get along. How's the family doing, Tim? Hey, great. Ronald, how's yours?
Yeah.
You know, and I have that already instilled in me. I played minor pro hockey for parts of 5 seasons. You can line up next to a guy. Hey, how's your family doing? Hey, great. As soon as that puck drops, you hit him with your stick.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, okay. And then as soon as it's done, you go have dinner afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about not getting things done because I don't like that person. There are ideologies and stances that aren't for sale. That's why I am a conservative. But I also know what's better for the people needs to be done.
All right. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hi there. I have a couple questions for your guest.
Yes.
I just tuned in. I'm not sure if you touched on marriage at all yet, but I kind of want
to think so.
On gay marriage, those kind of things, what his definition of marriage is. And that's kind of the main question. I also kind of want to know what he would do differently than the current representative. You hear a lot about his platform. That's kind of what I want to get at. So.
Okay.
Yep. That's my question there.
Thank you.
Yeah, the first thing on marriage, I don't think the government has a place in marriage. It's a religious issue they've decided to take on, and I don't believe they need to. It should be between the people, God, and the church. And regardless of what I feel, it's about what the 89th feels. The 89th district's already voted no on it, and I support what the district does. That's what I'm there to do. I am 100% pro-life, and regardless, conception is the start of life.
So you have a more libertarian stance on marriage.
Well, I won't fight for it. I won't fight against it. I'll fight for what my district wants. That's what I'm there to do. If I was 100%, 100,000% against it, and the district said, we want it, well, it wouldn't matter. I have to do what the district wants, and the district wants no, and I'm for no then.
Okay.
And then in terms of what I would do is, number one, I wouldn't take orders. I like to lead. I'm a leader. And I know people say, oh, I'm a leader all the time, but this is coming from people in my network, from my school, from my businesses. They are the ones who have called me a leader more than I call myself that. Unfortunately, I do take the role on a lot, but I like it. I like to be able to help people. And what I see here is I can go in and I can help lead the 2/3 of the Republican caucus who voted the same way I want to or would have. And why not join with them and lead the people that are in my district? Instead of being a follower and being told what to do, I want to go in and lead. And I've proven time and time again within my hockey career, my businesses, and even at the school and on the boards I've been on, that I can go in and make changes pretty quickly that are for the best.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of new to the whole politics thing, and I was kind of wondering, I've heard you talk about Common Core before. Just give me an example of how that looks. You're against Common Core, you go in. How do you change what's already been done?
Well, the good news is, like I said, there's 2/3 of the Republican caucus who voted against it. And when you put in people like myself to work with that 2/3, then we defeat it. As long as we keep that other 1/3 of the Republican caucus who decided to disband and vote for it, we can't get rid of it. But once we have the people like myself join the other 2/3, we really do have the majority. We can go ahead, vote it out, and then find out what's the best standards according to the local administrations and the teachers and the parents. That's where we need to figure out our standards, not from the federal government standards.
Okay, sure. Just not to take up your time.
That's all right.
So got a second for me?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, Detroit bailout. I'm pretty upset that, this money keep on being sent to Detroit, and I kind of want to know, what your stance is on that and kind of just take me through how you would help the city, come back without taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, I strongly oppose the Detroit pension bailout, and I do believe that those people earn their pension and they should get it. Yet, I don't think that you should pay for it because I'm guessing you don't have a pension, right?
No, sir.
No, so you don't want to pay for somebody else's pension, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and the nice part is you didn't make any of those votes to keep those corrupt individuals in that position to lose the pension.
Right, especially, from what the news tells me, Detroit's a pretty wild and woolly place.
And it is. And what I hear all the time is the Detroit Institute of Art is such an attraction. It brings people in. Well, I'm sorry, but if we privatized it, That place, no longer a burden on our budget, because it does run in the red. And we also were able to then overcome this deficit with this pension issue. And it just seems more logical. Privatization creates opportunities. Government creates problems. And I would not have voted for this Detroit pension bailout. As a business consultant and strategic management MBA, I would have looked at every which way and figured out how to fix this problem without spending your money in Holland, Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, I appreciate you giving me some time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Yep, bye-bye.
All right. We're here with, I better spell his last name for you, right, Matt?
Yes.
Okay, it's WIEDENHOEFT. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. That's Matt Wiedenhoft. Wiedenhoft, okay? Even a Dutchman has trouble with that a little bit. All right. And when did you move to Michigan?
I moved to Michigan in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
My parents bought a roller skating rink.
Oh, really?
In North Muskegon, yeah. My dad had joined the Navy, which took us to Virginia Beach from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And when we were down there, his last year in the Navy, he started a lawn care business with a handshake loan for the truck and prepayments on the few contracts he got to buy the equipment. And by the time we left, they were making six figures profit.
Very good.
And that was in about 10 years. We were considered the number one landscape and lawn care company in the Tidewater region. And so we moved here and bought a roller skating rink, which is the industry that my grandparents are in.
Mm-hmm.
And they started being in that industry right after World War II. My grandpa came home and he was going to build a hardware store. And he ended up building a roller skating rink so my grandma could run it if we ever went back to war. And they ended up owning up to 10 of them, and a skate supply and a flooring company. And the flooring company was actually started by my great-grandfather. But we moved to Michigan in 93 with a skating rink, and we did close it down in 2006, unfortunately. The economy in Michigan didn't start falling in 2008. It was a few years before that.
Yeah.
And we couldn't stay in business anymore. The skating industry is shrinking. And so we got rid of that and started another Carmel Apple and Carmel Corn business with my mom. And then I moved to Ottawa County, and I love this area.
Very good. Good morning, online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. Say, how do you feel about property rights? And second question related to that is, and zoning laws that infringe on property rights?
Well, again, I think it goes back to liberties and freedoms. You own the property. You should be able to do with the property as you see fit, as long as it's not, you know, according to the Constitution. If it infringes on somebody else's rights, then you've overstepped your rights. But don't believe in property tax and those kind of things. You paid tax when you bought it. Why are you paying taxes every year? And to me, that just seems like double taxation.
All right. How do you feel about jury trial? You think the government should be able to take your property without a jury trial?
No. Juries are, you know, our peers, and we are entitled to a trial by jury, and it shouldn't matter what it is. They should be involved.
Well, there's some things you can look at in that regard when you get to Lansing, if you get there. Appreciate that. You're not in Lansing now, I take it, right?
No, I'm not. I'm challenging our current state representative. And
who is that?
Amanda Price.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, we've just got a couple minutes here. Anything special you'd like to add?
You know, the biggest thing I want to add is the campaign's going great. The support's been overwhelming, and it continually swells over. It keeps growing and growing. Every door I'm knocking on, I'm getting more. And I mean, in fact, I got people like Mr. Dave Ajima, the RNC chairman for Michigan,
mm-hmm.
The national committee, Mike Hewitt, and Jim Chiodo's personal endorsement. He's the head of the Patriots here. Even Dr. Calvin Dykstra and Dr. Kessner, two people who work in the medical field that are, you know, in the same view I have with these issues. And the Michigan Liberty Caucus, these kind of supporters and organizations are coming forward daily, minute by the minute. I might have some now when I leave. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the support we're getting is just huge, and it keeps growing. And we're still, you know, almost 40 days out. And the biggest thing I want is I love these calls.
Yeah.
I posted something on the Grand Haven Informed in Facebook about a nice Israeli woman in Grand Haven I met this weekend. And it really crushed my heart this week when I explained to her about minimum wage increase. And she...
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Duke. I appreciate it.